Various Views of Revelation by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Sketch of the four main views of how to interpret this difficult book with the proponents of each and a bit of their on their relative merits. Revelation is probably the most unusual book in the New Testament. Among many Christians, the book is seriously neglected. Among other Christians, the book is overemphasized to the neglect of equally important matters. Why is the book sometimes neglected? Well, for some, the book is thought to be unintelligible. Some are repelled by its symbolism, very strong symbolism compared to the standard usage today. Some are turned off by its interpreters. Here we see a poster on the right. Are you ready for the rapture? Jesus is coming on October 28th, 1992, etc. Some don't like to think of heaven and hell. Why is it thought unintelligible? Well, the book has more symbolism than any book in the New Testament. Only Daniel and Zechariah come close in the Old Testament. There are wide varieties of interpretation of the book of Revelation. Only the Song of Solomon comes close to that in the Old Testament. Let's look at the variety of approaches here to the book of Revelation. We have what we might call the contemporary or preterite view, the historical or church history view, the future or futurist view, and the spiritual or idealistic view. If we try to sketch these out, we need a little chart here. So we have this chart with a timeline with Jesus' ministry on the left-hand side of the timeline, the church age in the middle, and the second coming at the right-hand side. And I point out that nearly all Christians, except for extreme preterists, believe that Jesus will come again in the future, and that the time between his comings is primarily the church age, in which we have a responsibility to take the gospel to all the nations. Might say, what do extreme preterists believe? Extreme preterists believe the second coming of Jesus took place in 70 AD and isn't going to happen again. We go to Jesus when we die, and that's basically it. Well, we're, however, looking at this timeline, Jesus, church age, second coming. So if we put some symbols on it, it looks like this. The preterist view of Revelation is this. Preterists believe that all or nearly all of Revelation was fulfilled in the first or the first few centuries after the time of Christ's ministry on earth. So we can put a little ellipse down there on the left-hand side, and that's where they think the fulfillment of Revelation is coming. The historical view of Revelation puts the ellipse covering all of church history like this. And these who hold to the historical view believe that Revelation is fulfilled fairly uniformly over church history. The futurist view of Revelation, we put the ellipse on the right-hand side like this. Futurists believe that nearly all Revelation is to be fulfilled near the end of church history, just before and around Jesus' second coming. Well, that seems to use up most of the alternatives. What do idealists believe? The idealists believe that Revelation will be fulfilled throughout church history, but I put kind of a dashed ellipse over there so it looks like the historical view, but that the symbols are a general picture of the warfare between good and evil, between God and Satan, not referring just to single events. So we can put down general fulfillment there instead of fulfillment as we did in the other cases. Well, let's look then at some proponents of these various views. The preterist view, the earliest example we see of this is during the period after the Reformation, Alcazar. Modern times, J. Adams is a preterist. J.B. Caird, Hugo Grotius, Leon Morris, Moses Stewart. I've actually put them in alphabetical order there rather than chronological order, more or less anyway. Grotius, of course, is much earlier, and Moses Stewart is in the 19th century, but J. Adams, J.B. Caird, and Leon Morris in the 20th century preterist view. Historicist view, the various proponents, Berengal, 9th century, Albert Barnes in the 19th century, Luther at the Reformation, Wycliffe before the Reformation. Many of the older amillennial interpreters hold the historicist view. It is not very popular today. Part of the reason for this, perhaps, is that historicists, believing that the Revelation is fulfilled over the whole of church history, have to basically revise their views every time you get a couple more centuries of church history added on, because you have to figure out how that fits in. And for some reason, in the 20th century, that has not been very popular. Future's view, Ribera, 1591, is the oldest person that we know explicitly held that view. George Ladd, Robert Mounts, John Walvoord. It's the usual pre-mill view, premillennial view. And the proponents here are all 20th century proponents except Ribera, though in fact you would find some futurist proponents scattered here and there through church history. Idealist view, Oberlin, 1854, is the earliest person we know of. Chuck Colclasher has written a popular book from the idealist perspective. William Hendrickson, a rather well-known commentary. R.C.H. Linsky, the Lutheran commentator, in his commentary series on the whole of the New Testament, has done the Revelation one from an idealist perspective. William Milligan, also idealist interpreter. And Rusus Rushduni, connected with the Reconstructionist approach here in the latter part of the 20th century, is significant in this view as well. Michael Wilcock has written another popular presentation of this. Well, that's the proponents of these various views. Mixed views, we give some examples of that. Henry Alford in the 19th century, historicist and futurist. George Beasley Murray, British Baptist commentator on Revelation, preterist and futurist. Herman Hoeksema, futurist and idealist. Sweet, preterist and idealist. I point out that although all views cannot be right, there is some merit in each view. Preterist view, the visions presumably made sense to John and the early Christians. By made sense does not mean they had a thorough understanding of them. We don't claim to have a thorough understanding of them today either. But the visions presumably made sense to John and the early Christians, so it would not be unreasonable to look for how that was so and what significance that might have. And the idea that it picks up themes, at least, from early church history would be fair in that direction. Historical, the visions are valuable in each century of church history. Futurist, the visions surely involve events at the end of church history. I don't think that can easily be gotten around. And the more orthodox preterite views, I think, still allow a futurist's part to the material, and similarly for the historical and idealist ones as well. Idealists, the visions picture the warfare that we all experience. This isn't just something about only the end of the age. It is about all of church history in some way. And yet I think it's fair to say that it does zero in on the end of church history as kind of the climax of these things. Well, that's the end of our brief discussion here. The end of the dispute on what Revelation means will probably not come before Jesus returns. Meanwhile, I think we should show charity for one another, but really be concerned to try and find the truth. We do not want to get into kind of a postmodernist scheme in which there is no truth, but we do want to realize that God is far beyond us, and that the end of the age probably involves things that are rather beyond anything we've ever experienced before, and that although there's clearly figure in the book of Revelation, it will probably not be possible before the end of the age to tell exactly which aspects of the book of Revelation are figurative and which aspects are more literal. That is something I think we need to keep an open mind on, but not meaning an open mind that excludes one of the views because you don't think it's worthy or something of that sort. In prayer, study, and seek to see how well you can understand the book of Revelation.